Sunday, yeah, sorry. On Sunday. Yes. Why, yes. So grab your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 4. We're continuing our series, Daniel in Wonderland. Daniel in Wonderland. Huh? If there was any water left? He's in Babylon. Or he's, I mean, technically he's in heaven right now. In the story, he's not. Are you guys there? Daniel chapter 4. All this talking is telling me that you're either there or you don't even have your Bibles yet. Okay, awesome. Four. We're going to start in verse 19. 4:19. When you got it, say got it.
Got it.
Got it.
What verse? 19. And then, I got something in my eye. Oh. Wow. Ooh, that was fierce. That eye thing was fierce. Okay, stand on your feet. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Close. So starting in verse 19, if you don't got it, just stand on your feet and we'll stand in honor of the word of God. Okay, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. Dear Lord, we are, it's a true privilege for us to come together, have this privilege to be together, to fellowship together, to have fun together, to study your word together. And so we pray that we would give you our full attention, Lord, and teach us what it means to serve you in the study of your word, to worship you in the study of your word. We pray that you would silence anything in our minds or in our hearts, and that we could fully focus on all you have for us. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit to speak your word and to speak your will to your people, and that we would all grow deeper in you this evening. And we pray this in your name. All God's people said, amen. So we arrive in our trail down the rabbit hole at chapter 4. And I mean, we've had quite the journey. We've seen some wild stuff. We've seen what diligence in your practices in school and in your relationship with God. We've seen what diligence can do. We've seen how we should just respect those who are in authority over us by the example Daniel has set. We've seen how to avoid idolatry, how to handle and deal with persecution in this world as Christians. And we've seen a lot of near-death experiences. This is like an intense film. You know, things are going great one day and then we turn the page or like it clips to another scene and like someone's tied up in a chair screaming for their lives and like we never know what's gonna happen. Woo! It's insane. And I hope you guys have like experienced Daniel in a new light, you know? Maybe before you came up here, Daniel was in the lion's den just singing. Just kidding. But he was, maybe that's, you know, that's the picture, the stereotypical picture we have of Daniel. But hopefully this is broadening and he's not just Daniel in the lion's den. And it's not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning fiery furnace. But it is this crazy account of a deeply grounded Christian man who sets this example of how we can live as Christians in a secular world. You know, how we can be completely in this world, but not of this world. So we come to a new dream. It's another one of Nebi's dreams, and he is off his rocker. Woo! He's insane. You know, I mean, I've said it before, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but You think that he cannot get any worse, but he does. He goes literally, like, psychologically insane. But he has this dream where there's a huge tree. It's like, it's a beautiful tree. Everybody loves the tree. The deer and the antelope, they run underneath it and they play together. And everybody loves the tree, you know. It's like the Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. That's right. Is that? No.
Yeah.
It is. Shel? Yeah? Okay. I get him and Eric Carle mixed up. Oh, man. It's like the Giving Tree. But a watcher, a holy one, that's what the passage calls him, came down and says, chop this tree down. Cut it down. And he orders it to be chopped down. And it's cut down. And nothing but a stump and its roots are left. And it's there amongst the grass and amongst the field. And the beasts, they've kind of gone away. They're no longer, the deer and antelope aren't playing underneath it anymore. They're more like just eating next to it. And it's kind of, it's gotten dull. You know, the beauty of the tree has left and things have gone away. I'll take your question in a bit. And all that's left is a stump. And then this dream kind of starts to get a little kooky, but the stump starts to become like an animal. And it starts to eat like a cow. It starts to like act like a cow. Starts to lay on the ground like a cow. And it's really kind of strange. But eventually this tree is restored. It's no longer a crazy kooky like animal tree. And it becomes a normal tree again. It grows back up. But for the moment, it's just like that, the end of the Giving Tree, you know, where the kid comes and he just sits on the stump and we all shed tears and think back on our childhood. You know what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is a good book. So yeah, what's your question? You know the meaning of the dream? Okay, that's pretty cool, but I'm about to say the meaning. And it's a pretty long explanation, so I'm not going to let you explain it all right now. But you can let me know after, for sure. I'm down with that. But it turns out that the tree is Nebuchadnezzar. And the symbol of him being high and up in the air and like stretching toward the heavens and all the cattle and the deer and the antelope playing underneath it. I don't know why that's the symbol for play, but that is. They're playing, they're frolicking underneath it. It's the symbol of his mighty empire, his worldwide Babylonian empire, and the power that he has. But God is he's going to basically remove him from power because Nebuchadnezzar dishonors God. He doesn't acknowledge God as the true ultimate power of the world and the power of his empire. You know, God is in control. Even if it's a secular thing or an unchristian thing, God is sovereign and he's ruling in that instant. And so this tree, it's chopped down. Nebuchadnezzar, he's removed from authority. But then he starts to experience a legit psychological disorder called boanthropy. And this is the psychological disorder in which a human believes himself or herself to be a cow. I kid you not. So, realize this. Realize what's happening right now. The ruler of the known world at the time goes so insane that he is thrown out of his kingdom and eating grass like a cow.
So it's cowology.
Yes, literally. The study of cows. He is he's not a cow, but he thinks he's a cow. He eats like a cow. He sleeps like a cow. He wakes up with dew and moss on his back. Like a cow. Yeah. Weird. Weird stuff is going on with this man's mind. He is insane. Is that a question or a comment?
It's a comment.
Yeah.
Actually, people have had this disorder
today. Yeah, it's not a common thing. I wouldn't say it's a common thing, but it is a legit thing. Like, this is a psychological disorder in which you think you're it's called a bovile. It's like a cattle animal, an animal of the cattle. So an ox, a cow, a bull, a buffalo. Maybe he thought he was a buffalo. But I think it's safe to say that before this guy was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, now he's just insane. Like, I think if you would have talked to him, he would have said moo. I'm very serious. He's crazy. And according to the dream, he's going to stay like this till he realizes that God is the ruler of everything. So Daniel finishes off the interpretation. This is just the interpretation. It hasn't actually happened in real life yet. This is just his dream. And Daniel finishes off the interpretation in verse 27 by giving good old Nebi a tip. He gives him a pro tip. He's like, break off your sins by being righteous. So stop sinning and start doing good things. And your iniquities, stop doing your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. So maybe. Daniel's like, dude, seriously. Like, heart to heart here, bro. I think you should probably, like, back off on the sins. Start doing some good things. Start being nice to people. Stop the iniquities and, like, start treating people good and loving them. And stop, like, trying to cut people into pieces and burn their houses into ash heaps. But, you know, Nebi, as we will find out, he is a very stubborn man. So we're going to see how that plays out. But our main focus today is that Daniel, he didn't want to tell Nebi the interpretation. Notice in the verse that we read, verse 19, it says that it troubled him. He was astonished for a time and his thoughts were troubled. He didn't want to reveal this harsh truth to Nebuchadnezzar. And we as Christians can sometimes want to skip some parts of the gospel, you know, because there's parts that are really not super happy and they really don't like encourage people in the things they're doing, and it humbles people and sometimes humiliates people and also can sometimes scare people. So we can sometimes want to skip those parts of the gospel, but Daniel's going to show us how we need to embrace those parts of the gospel. The gospel is the good news, but it also has some parts that are pretty hard to talk about, you know what I'm saying? And they're pretty hard to swallow. It's hard to convey these things to people. Today, Daniel, he's going to show us how we can share the whole gospel, not just part of it, not too much of one part, not too little of one part, and we won't skip the bad news. So the title of this evening's teaching is Don't Forget the Bad News. You know, we're always focused on the good news, but just like everything that is, you know, true, it means that the opposite of it is false. And so we have to look at the opposite and see what goes on there. So we're going to look at 2 points. If you're taking notes, you can jot these down. We're going to look at, it's really complex. Sin is bad. Yep, that's the whole point. Sin is bad and hell is real and hot. So sin is bad, and 2, hell is real, and hot.
No, it's ugly.
I don't know how you're gonna write the hot part, but I don't know how you'll write that down. But maybe just remember the hell is real and it's hot. But I think there's a specific question that can come to our mind: why do we have to even touch on the bad news? Why is that important? Why can't we just share the good news? Share that if you believe in God, put your faith in Him, you're going to go to heaven, and it's all la 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 la. There's no hell in your sin. You can just keep doing it and continuing it, and you will never feel a single issue of life. Well, let me give you, remember how I mentioned anecdotes on Sunday? I'm going to give you another little anecdote here. So it's a story that illustrates like a bigger concept. So imagine you cracked the code and you found a cure for every cancer that is stage 3 and below. So if it's stage 3, the system that you've developed can cure it. And if it's stage 4, this system is not strong enough to cure it and you cannot use it on the system. But it's a 4-step system. So first is you have to go to the doctor every day. Whether you go in the morning, you go in the afternoon, or you go at night, you gotta go see that doctor every day. He's gonna help you out, it's gonna be good, and everybody's gonna feel good. Second is you have to take a Flintstone, this is completely theoretical. Second is you have to take a Flintstone vitamin twice a day. Flintstone vitamin twice a day. So doctor every day, Flintstone vitamin twice a day. Third is you have to give up the ability to walk and to see. Completely theoretical, it's weird, but just think about it. So you have to give up the ability to walk into sea. And then fourth, the final kicker, you have to do the hokey pokey in a chicken suit on public television. We have an image to display this. So, if it's stage three or below, stage one, two, or three cancer, all you gotta do is go, well, I mean, this is actually a lot of stuff. It's very intense. But what you gotta do is you gotta go to the doctor every day, once a day, every day. Flintstone vitamin twice a day. I love Flintstone vitamins. I wish I was still a kid so I could take Flintstone vitamins every day. But the two tricky ones is, one, you're gonna be humiliated out of your mind because you gotta do the hokey pokey and a chicken dance on public TV. That's crazy. Or in a chicken suit, not in a chicken dance. And you have to give up your ability to walk and to see. So now imagine. So you developed this cure, but you're a little embarrassed, you know, because it's wild to ask people to do the hokey pokey in a chicken suit on public TV. It's really weird. It's pretty embarrassing. And it's going to humiliate the person. So why would you ask them to do that? And then also asking someone to give up their vision, seeing everything, and the ability to walk for this, for a cure from cancer. No, you can't. You can't use your legs. So imagine if you start using this thing and you use it on one person, one man, and. But you're afraid to tell them the last two steps. So you just tell them all you gotta do is go to the doctor every day and have a Flintstone vitamin twice a day and you're gonna be cured from cancer and it's all gonna be good. And he's stage three cancer right now. So imagine he does this for like 6 months and he's happy, he's feeling super good. But then one day, suddenly he wakes up, has to be rushed to the hospital and he has stage four cancer. And now your cure does not work on him. And it's because you did not tell him the two points that were kind of rough to swallow, kind of hard to take. And now he's out of your reach. You can't cure him with this cancer anymore, or with this cure for cancer. And that's kind of the way it is. So we have a cure for, hell, for death. We have a cure for death that is found in Christ Jesus. But we do have to touch on our two points, that sin is bad and hell is real, because it's a full point to the gospel. You know, we can't just say the happy parts. We can't just say when you die, you go to heaven. We can't just say when you become a Christian, you can start doing things because God is gracious, God is good, He'll forgive you right away. We can't just continue and encourage living in sin. So we're going to look at today how we can use the whole gospel. Use the whole buffalo, if you will, and spreading the love of Jesus. So first we'll look at sin is bad. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin, it's what originally separated us as humans in the Garden of Eden from Jesus. It's what separated us from that. One on relationship, walking and talking in the garden every day, loving each other, seeing each other face to face, no shame, like glory. It's what separated us from that glory and brought us into this world of pain and destined us to death and a life in hell. And sin continues to separate us until we repent of a life that is lived in sin. So then that brings us to the question, what exactly is sin? Well, we've got a verse to describe it. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10 says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves, those who indulge in sexual sin." So any kind of sexual sin, anything that's sexual outside of marriage, anything lustful, whatever that may be, or who worship idols, worshiping, you know, molded image, carved images, or worshiping anything that is not God in our hearts, or committing adultery, male prostitution, or the practice of homosexuality, stealing things, being a thief, greediness, drunkenness, abusiveness, cheating, stealing, lying, None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So, all of that is a sin. From the little white lie, which even though it sounds little, it's bigger than it seems, or the homosexual who is outright in homosexuality and bold about it and doesn't want anybody telling them that they are wrong, the person who is struggling in pornography, watching pornography every night, the person who is drinking, who is doing drugs, the person who's stealing, the person who takes a paperclip without asking and never brings it back, these are all sins. And they have all sent us to the direction of hell. And that's just the way it is. That is life. That's what we chose. That's what we chose when we chose sin over God. That's what mankind has been destined to. An unrepented life of sin. Sin, it keeps people out of heaven. So we need to tell people this, because as long as they're living in a life of sin, unrepented. Now, we need to understand that this isn't struggling in sin. This isn't, you know, battling sin when you just don't want to do it, but you keep doing it and you're battling and hopefully going to overcome that one day. This is when you're just outright in sin, comfortable with it, bold about it, and have really no intention of stopping it. So we need to be confident that sin is wrong, and clear that when you are comfortable and committed to a sin in your life, you are not getting into heaven. No matter what you believe, no matter how hard you believe it, salvation demands repentance from your sin. And to clarify once again, this isn't struggling in sin, as Christians will always fall into sins, but the difference is when you're just committed to a life of sin and really have no desire or intention of getting out of it. So that brings us to our second point. Hell is real. It's a real thing. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." As Christians, when we die, that's like the worst it gets. That pain we feel in the moment, that's the worst it gets. And then we go to heaven, and it's all better, and we probably won't even remember that pain because of how good and awesome God is. But if you are not saved, if you have not repented from a life of sin, this death, as we pass into eternity, is just like the piece of cake leading to hell. Where throughout Scripture, we see that hell is brutal. It's intense. It is crazy. You know, we hear people just wanting a touch of water to their tongue to be refreshed. I've never been so thirsty where I thought if someone dipped their finger in a cup of water and like put it on my tongue, that would refresh me and rejuvenate me. And these people are going through this all day, every day, for the rest of their lives. That's like, it's more like a brain implosion. It's more like that should kind of suck the air out of the room, because when we, now as Christians, we're trusted with this message of the gospel to not just tell people that if they believe in Jesus that they're going to heaven, but to tell people the opposite, that if they don't believe in Jesus, they're going to hell. Because people like the idea that, you know, I can go to heaven if I want, or, you know, maybe I'll just go somewhere else. Only fate will decide, or people like the idea that all roads lead to God. And that is true. All roads do lead to God. But some people are going to see God as a savior, and others are going to see God having to send them to hell because of the life that they've lived in sin. And we have this opportunity to love everyone around us and warn them that the things you're doing, the things you do not believe right now, are sending you to hell. So that they at least know, so that they at least hear it for themselves and are aware. It doesn't mean that every time we tell somebody that if they continue in this life of sin that we believe that they're going to hell, that they're going to repent right away. No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that at least they know. At least we took the decency to take this knowledge we have and share it with them. We didn't hold that
that fact that you have to do a chicken dance and lose your sight and vision, we didn't keep that from them, but we told them.
So they at least have the knowledge, and they at least are aware of that. People must have the opportunity to hear the whole truth. You know, they need that.
And as Christians, it sounds brutal to tell somebody that the lifestyle they're in is sending them to hell. But it's true. And people need to know what's true. Now, this doesn't mean that every time you talk to someone who's unsaved, you go, I want you to know that even if you've only stolen a paperclip, you are going straight to hell, and that's the way life is, and you need to be very aware of this, and your sins are leading you to hell.
No, no, no. We need to just include the whole thing. You know, believe in Jesus and you're going to heaven. But if you don't believe in that, you're going to go to hell.
And it's not God's will that anyone should live eternity apart from Him. But He is righteous.
And being righteous, if you choose to live a life in denial of Him, then He has to send you to the punishment that you are due. I know this is heavy stuff. It is quite heavy indeed. But it's the truth. It's the whole truth. And we need to be confident in it. And I don't mean
when we're like walking up to a complete stranger, but this needs to kind of just be in our vocabulary. You know that homosexuality, it's a sin. And when you are living outright in it and not trying to get out of it, that you are going to hell for that. You know, that is the sin that you are living in. And that's not to say that people struggling in homosexuality are going to heaven, but if there's no struggle, if they're just outright in that and bold in that, you know, people would say we're politically incorrect for saying that this feeling that we have is a sin, for saying that this lust that I have deep inside of me, that I have to deny that. They'd say we're politically incorrect, we're animals, so we should just be able to embrace whatever it is we're feeling deep inside of us. Wherever this feeling's coming from, we should be able to act on it. But that's not true. That's not what we see in Scripture. And it needs to be kind of common, you know? That is sin. This sin is wrong. It doesn't need to be extreme. It doesn't need to be intense. But just to say, yeah, I believe homosexuality is a sin, you know?
And I was a sinner as well, but by God's grace, I have been washed clean. And
now I'm living for Him, and it's a struggle. It's hard, but He's washed me white as snow. And now I'm no longer marked as a sinner, but I'm marked as a saint. Washed white as snow.
So let's get back to
our account, back to the story.
It gets a little kind of happier, so we'll end on a happy note. So Nebi, he's removed from his authority.
That tree is chopped down. This is literal now.
Nebi is removed from authority. He did not heed the advice from Daniel, and he continued living in his sin of pride and his sin of probably hatred as well, whatever else sins he might have had. And he literally does go insane. He eats grass like a cow. We're told that his hair is like eagle's feathers.
Now, do not be deceived. If someone ever tells you that your hair is like eagle's feathers, that is not a compliment at all. That is so gross. Ugh.
So, think about hair. I have curly hair, so when I don't comb my hair for like a week, it gets these like thick knots, like literally this size. I'm not joking. Thick knots.
Not only that, but if I'm not shampooing my hair, or at least rinsing it, it gets greasy.
Like hair this long could stand up like that because it's so greasy. So his hair was so greasy, so knotted up and natty, that when people saw it, they said, that looks like an eagle. Ugh! Do you realize how gross that is? Ugh! Ugh! He was probably patchy and bald and... Ugh! Ugh! Okay, and we're told that his nails are not fresh out of the manicure. Or, that's right, manicure. They're not fresh out of Beautiful Nail. They're not fresh out of the nail spa. They looked like, and I'm quoting, they look like the nails of bird claws.
Yeah. This guy had talons. He literally had talons.
So something happened to his fingers to where they were probably like black. And they were probably like very long. And you know when like you see this sometimes, and it really grosses me out, but when like nails are like thick, like something happens to a nail to where it like gets thick and dark and really gross. But this guy is living, acting like, and looking like an animal for 7 years. This is so gross. And we're not talking about someone who was raised in a gross life. We're talking about the king of the known world at the time is looking like an animal and acting like an animal. Are these questions or comments?
Both.
Okay, is it one quick comment? We can take one quick comment. Yeah, he's like a bird man. He's like a nasty, gross bird man.
Except sadly, he's not wearing a costume.
But, yeah, he's not wearing. That is so gross. It genuinely grosses me out. Like, I was reading that, and I was like, this passage literally just told me that his hair is like an eagle's feathers, and his nails are like that of a bird. Okay. But it doesn't end on such a low note. After the 7 years, at the end of his time, Nebuchadnezzar actually repents and he acknowledges God as the true authority and power over everything. Wow, that's crazy. Not only that, but he praises God. And verse 4 is written like a letter to the surrounding countries. And he's like, this is what God has done in my life. And this is how awesome God is and how he has transformed me. This is like the king of the known world at that time is now converted. And not only is he converted, but he is writing to the world about what God has done in his life. Whoa. 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 And then we trace this back. If Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not diligent in what they did, this would have never happened. They would have never been taken to Babylon. If Daniel didn't respect and love his authorities as God wanted us to, this would have never happened. If they weren't diligent in the work that God called them to, even though it was a secular work, this would have never happened. Whoa! Wow, I think it's very incredible. I think it is very, very incredible indeed. So we don't know how everything ends up for Nebuchadnezzar. All we know is what we just finished with right now. He's converted. You'd assume that he lives a happy life as a Christian. And I think it's relatively safe to assume that. I think that's pretty cool. So as we come to a final close, like we've kind of left the heavy side of the teaching. But if you heard about sin being bad and that is sending you to hell and that hell is a real place and it's hot, and that scared you in a way that wasn't like you're scared and concerned for those who are around you who aren't saved, but scared you in a way that you're scared for yourself because you're not certain that if you were to die tomorrow, where you would be going. So if you aren't certain of that, you don't need to walk out of here uncertain. Us, the leaders, we'd love to talk with you about what you're feeling, what you're wondering, any questions you have, any concerns you have. It's normal to be concerned, to wonder, am I really safe? What's this feeling I'm having? Should I be afraid of hell? Should I not be afraid of hell? Should I be concerned about this sin that I'm struggling with? And it's all on the table with us leaders. You're not going to tell us anything that's going to make us go, you did what? Or we're not going to be like, you think what? And you're probably going to be surprised that we thought it a week and a half ago and we're just reminded of God's grace, you know? So, and we'd be happy to remind you of God's grace. So take advantage of us leaders, not in the sense of taking advantage of us, like in a mean way, in a gracious way is what I mean. You guys. Okay, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel and for the good news. And we thank you that even though it's hard, Lord, that you give us
the skills that we need and the grace that we need to share these messages that are hard, to be certain in our conviction that sins lead people to hell, and to be certain in the fact that hell is a real place that real unrepented sinners do go to, Lord. But help us not to just be stuck on that, Lord, but help us to have a happy balance of what grace is, and what heaven is, and what hell is, and what sin is. And let us honor you with our use of the gospel, Lord. We are your servants. Send us where you want us to go. Use us how you want us to be used. And be glorified in us, we pray. All of this in your Son's name. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody.